It is a blessing to be over here today, but with all this crisis that's going on for 2 years already, it looks like it's a blessing to be anywhere except where we should not be, which is a hospital or another a bed, as long as God has given us the grace and the blessing to be together and to celebrate together this wonderful day that He made for you and I. I like this text. About all the texts in the Bible, there are many of them. I hope that you have I spend time with your Bible, with the Word of God. Amen. I hope you do. Long time ago, when I first became Seventh-day Adventist, that was in Brazil, they had this custom in the church. It was a custom that everyone make a commitment in the church to read the whole Bible through the year. And remember, some of you, when you joined the church, probably that was a practice here also in the United States. And unfortunately, we are not getting practice those old habits anymore. I think if one of the things that you're going to do next week, if you make some resolution, make sure that among your resolution, make a commitment to read the Word of God through. It's a wonderful experience. When I was reading, the first time I was reading the Bible, when I saw this, I asked myself, why isn't the Jewish people read this in their Bibles? So I took, later on, I took a Hebrew Bible and I looked to see of course, at that time I did not know how to read anything in Hebrew, but there is a side-by-side translation in our own language. And I says, basically it says the same thing. Then I also took a Bible, this many years later, I took a Bible also because I was curious, what about Jehovah's Witness? Do they have this in their New World Translation the same way? And I was shocked when I read, and more shocked was this Jehovah's Witness in my home when I asked them, can you read this in your own version, Isaiah 9, verse 6? I don't think he had an idea that that's what it was there. So when they start reading and they read just a little bit, it says, we got to go home. They closed their Bible immediately because they were shocked that this is there. And if there is one aspect of the messianic promise, the most beautiful in the entire Bible, this is the one. Because this is so complete. This is not the whole sermon about, but look at what it says. For unto us, not to anybody else, is an act especially about us. For unto us a child is born. A son is given to us as a gift. And that's why we talk about gifts. And the government will be upon his shoulders. It says, and his name will be called. Notice that it didn't say his names. It says his name. Actually, is one name composed of seven portions. I know that in your Bible they have those commas there. So you say, Pastor, how do you get seven? Because it says wonderful one, counselor two, mighty God three, everlasting Father four, and then Prince of Peace five. How can you get seven? Yes, if you don't put the comma over there because the original has no comma, you say wonderful one, counselor two, mighty three, that Al Shaddai, it's mighty God, and then you say everlasting, and then you say Father, and the Prince of Peace, or the one who causes peace. And this is what is beautiful, is that the seven make his name complete. And if you look carefully, we can make a whole series about this. You can preach one sermon about each one of them. You see, wonderful is the one who causes wonders, the one who performs miracles, the one who does things that no one can imagine. Counselor, the one who tries to bring peace, the one who shares grace and brings close, the mighty, he has the power, he is able. God, he is not human. And that's what we will be talking today. Today, the title of our message is Noel. Now, all of you have used this name Noel before, right? You have heard, you have said, you have probably in your when you are not in public, you probably even dare to sing, or unless you are just like a young lady here that has a beautiful voice, or the other provide us a beautiful music also. But Noel, what is this stands for? Have you ever asked yourselves, what is the meaning of it? If you ask people, you go online and check, everybody says, oh, that's about Christmas. But what is the meaning of it? First of all, there is no such word in Hebrew as Noel. Noel is not a Hebrew word, at least not the whole word. Part of it, yes, it is. So there is the no. The no comes from Latin and it comes to French. It comes from the verb natus. You see that the word natural comes from this. I speak Portuguese. In Portuguese, the past form of this verse, it says nasci, nasceu, which it means it comes nascimento. It comes from this word in Latin, which means the no is just part of this verse. Then there's the L. That is from Hebrew, which it stands or for Semitic languages. That means God. So basically, literally, Noel means the birth of God. And you know that God cannot be born. But those that create this name, they believe that Mary gave birth to God. And they call her the mother of God. If you go to if you attend any Catholic service, they will repeat this over and over and over again. And they even say, it's better to pray. By the way, I'm saying exactly what I heard myself when I was attending that church. Okay? They said, it's better for us to pray direct to Mary instead of Jesus. Because as a perfect son, he will obey his mother in every single. So if you make a request to her and she present to him, is a sure thing. But if you send the prayer to anybody else, there is a risk. So that is the assumption. And that's how they taught their members. So pray direct to Jesus. Noel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. And then, now it makes sense, Noel, doesn't it? Because we know that the one who was born, it was just a human form, but it was God taking our humanity in our behalf. It was Abba himself, because he created us, and he says, the buck stops here. I create them, I redeem them. And so he came. Not an angel, but God himself. Now, what about the word Christmas? Have you ever asked yourself, what is the meaning of the word Christmas? Do you think you know what is the word mean? Christmas means? So I made it easier. I just put Christ first and then put the rest there. That is a Catholic Mass. That's where it comes from. Basically, the word Christmas, it means the sacrifice of Christ. So today, when you say to somebody, Merry Christmas, is kind of a, if you really think exactly what you're saying, you say, Happy sacrifice of Christ. It's not going to be happy for Christ that is suffering, but what the point is, there is hope because it did not end in Calvary. We have hope. So that's what is Christmas all about. Mary, yes, Chris, Christ. Now, if you're Hispanic, you may say, Mas Cristo, Mas of Christ. In Portuguese, we put an I of their mais, but Mas, more of Christ. So that should be Christmas all about, more of Christ, not of all the other things that they put together. Today is a holy day, right? Is it today a holy day? I know that a holy spells with Y, but this is the way they spell. The world today says that today is a holy day. And they call tomorrow a holy day too. Do you know that tomorrow is a holy day too, according to them? And they have quite all the few holy days. They have 4th of July, they call a holy day. And I don't know how many of you heard people saying, happy holidays. So why just talk about one? Let's the whole. And so they hold the whole season as holidays. Are they holy days? What is the definition of a holy day? Literally, it means holy day. Is today holy because of its Christmas? Or today is holy because it's the Sabbath? So I noticed that Brother Cleveland was emphasized this. This is the picture that is in the put it before our children over and over and over and over again. There is somebody flying through the skies, and he has a bag with gifts. Have you received yours yet? I don't know if he went by your house. If you have no chimney, I don't know how he got in. Because they tell the children that are very smart, says, my dad, how did he can get in our house? Oh, son, he comes through the chimney. But the guy is big. The chimney is, he has powers. And they say, and animals are flying him through the skies. The speed of light. I don't know how many of you here, I'm not advertising, I tell you, don't waste your time with it. Home Alone, in an old movie, Home Alone, yeah. With Kevin, Lost in Christmas, you know, Home Alone 2. I don't know how many of you have watched it, but there is a very intriguing, there are many things intriguing under the whole idea. But there is one moment, the closing of the Home Alone 2, when he was lost in New York. He was in this most fancy hotel in New York. And the night they went to bed and came in the morning, everybody says, it's Christmas. And they run, and there are the Christmas tree over there. And there was a gift for everybody in the family there. Then came the question. Someone in the background said, oh, it's exactly what I want. How did Santa know what I really want? And there was a gift for everyone. And then there was this line that says, how could he go at the same time all around the world and give gifts to all the children at the same time? How could that be possible? And Kevin, the smart kid, have a close up on the camera. And he said, he's omnipotent. Have you got that line on the movie? He said, he is omnipotent. That's how he can go everywhere at the same time. And who is omnipotent? Who is it? Who is the only one omnipotent? So it's not Santa, is it? By the way, have you ever asked yourself why they name him Santa? Those of you that speak Spanish or Portuguese or any other language that a Latin language, you know that Santa is a feminine version of the word saint. What a mess. They not only gave the guy the wrong name, but they gave him a feminine name. Santa. Meaning he is saint. Means he is holy. Holy cow. That's what they say. Holy lie. A creation, a fantasy. What is the purpose? Why do you think that they create this individual? Because they want to make sure that everybody could enjoy Christmas, even if they decide to lift out Christ. That is not sad. That actually is a good thing to make everybody happy. How can you blame somebody for make everybody happy? But what he said is that sometimes Christians are leaving Christ out of Christmas. And that is a disaster. When they take Jesus out of Christmas. Some children out there are very sad. You know why? Because they looked through their window. They look around. They look under their bed. And there is no gift. I was one of those kids that I went many, 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 many Christmas. And Santa never showed up. I have no idea what was wrong with him. Maybe he didn't have our address. But he never showed up. And I saw all the kids in the neighborhood. Oh, Santa brought me this. Oh, Santa brought that. And do you believe there are so many millions of children that are asking this question? Why not me? Every lie costs a lot. You may create a lie to make one person happy, but you have no idea how many millions of children go with trauma the rest of their lives because they felt like they are not worthy to be remembered, not even once a year. It is cruel. I saw an article that came up. This individual that was writing this article, he was, you know, when you are very soft, you want to talk about a crisis or something very bad, but you want to be soft because the individual that you're going to talk about is too powerful, or that person can end your career if you're not careful what you say. So this writer was talking about a bishop in Rome. This bishop had a meeting and have a place full of with children. And he decided to talk about Santa Claus. And he said to the children, Santa Claus does not exist. And the whole, all the children, ah, what? Excuse me. He said, Santa Claus does not exist. It's a lie. And he went on saying, and by the way, do you know why he dressed in red and white? Because Coca-Cola dressed him like that. It was Coca-Cola who decided to choose the color for him. He is a creation of a Coca-Cola. And believe me, if you drink all that stuff for a long time, you're going to be like Santa. You're going to be red and white if you drink that stuff. What happened to the truth? Why are we replacing replace the truth with a lie? You put that in the mind of a child, the child will never forget. Here's a text that you must read to your children today, more than any other day. Children, every good gift and a gift that lasts forever can only come from one place, no other, the real Holy One, the only Holy One, the Father, not the, by the way, in Portuguese they call Santa Claus, Papai Noel. Papai is a word for Abba. You know, like a daddy, Noel, they call. In the Italians, they call him Babu Natale. And some of you are familiar with the word Babu, right? It's the same Abba, equivalent to Abba. And so around the world, they are giving the title of Abba, God, given to a fake individual, saying that he's omnipotent, that he is the one who gives the gift, when the Bible says, no, 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 no. The one who gives perfect gifts that last, is the Father of lights. Interesting, very appropriate for Christmas, right? The Father of lights. It says, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. All the gifts come from him. Brothers and sisters, let me call your attention quickly. And they shall teach my people the difference between what is holy and what is fake, unholy, unclean. Who are they that the Bible is talking about? And cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Who do you think the Bible is talking about? God has chosen ministers and give them the responsibility. And I'm going to talk about pastors now. I'm talking about ministers. His holy people, you and I, and everyone who knows the truth. God has given us the responsibility to teach his people, his children, the difference between what is holy and what is unholy. Some version says unclean or common. And cause them to discern between what is unclean and clean. Today, you go to some churches, they say, no, there's nothing unclean. You can eat whatever you want. What enters in your mouth is not what contaminates you, is what comes out. And so they misquote the scriptures, just like Satan did. Now, you're familiar with this picture, right? Every time we have this picture on the screen, we say, Happy Sabbath, right? Happy Sabbath, because Abba is there. The only way a Sabbath can be holy is if Abba is part of it. The only way Sabbath can be happy if Abba is part of it. Don't try to accomplish happiness without Abba. It won't work. I can guarantee you. Now, holy? Yes. Why is holy? Because God's presence makes it holy. How many of you here remember or have read in your Bible in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses came before a burning bush and he heard a voice says, take off your sandals. Why? Why is holy? He has been there before many times and was not holy before, but now was holy. What made the difference? God was present now. And whatever God is becomes holy. That's the only reason the Sabbath is holy, is because Abba is there. By the way, what do you call this place here? What do you call this building? A church. Now, we are the church. This is not the church. We are the church. What do they call this building here? This part? Sanctuary. Do you know what the word sanctuary means? A place that is made holy because the Holy One is present. The word sanctu means holy. Sanctuary, a place where holiness resides. That's what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is a sanctuary in time and literally a place where Abba resides, the Holy One. Only the Sabbath is a holy day. There is no other holy days. The other days are festive days. Don't call it holy, because if you call Sunday holy, you're playing the game exactly the way Satan wants you, because he is preparing us for a big bang day. He is brainwashing us to call holy what is not holy and do not call holy what is holy. Remember the commandment says, they must discern between what is holy and what is not holy. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. There is the word sanctuary. Sanctify it means made it holy. How did he make it holy? He says, I will make the Sabbath a sanctuary. Every single time that you also make the Sabbath a sanctuary, you meet the Holy One and you become holy in the process. Because when we have God in us, we become his sanctuary. We become sanctified. The Bible says, remember to keep it holy. We cannot make it holy. Let me be picky on the Roman church a little bit more. They say that Santa had a manufactory in the North Pole, right? Have you heard that story? And that's what he makes all the toys and everything else. I thought that the North Pole is, there is no North Pole in China, is there? Because that looks like the toys are being made in China, not in North Pole. But anyway, all that makes all the toys now. There is one place. There is a manufacturing of holiness. A place where they create saints. Do you know what I'm talking about? A place in Rome called the Vatican. If you live in a Catholic country, you'll find out that there are more than 3, 4, 5 saints per day. There are so many saints that even John Paul now is in the list. And Teresa, the one that was working in India, she died and she's holy too. Now everybody's authorized to pray for her. I mean, give all the prayers to her. John Paul II, the same thing. And there is a list, hundreds, thousands of saints. Are they really saints? Not really. Because only God can make anything holy. And I'm not saying this in the terms of criticism, but more in the tent of to call your attention that this is the mentality that the humans that are not holy can make things holy. Only God can make holy. Nobody else. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. I mentioned this before here. I'm going to repeat. I attend a Catholic university. I was trying to get a degree before I went to school to get the theology. My intent was to get a degree in math and become a teacher, and with the teaching pay my tuition to become a pastor. But it didn't work the way I planned. I got to this class and there was this Catholic priest that was supposed to be my philosophy teacher. And when I told him, I told this story to you before, okay, I know that I'm repeating. This is not a senior thing that I can blame on the senior. I know exactly, I told this story before. So when I told him I could not attend class on the Sabbath, he didn't understand because it was actually Friday night for him. For me, it was the Sabbath. For God, it was the Sabbath. For the universe, it was the Sabbath. But for him, it was Friday. So he went to this argument with me saying, do you know that any day can be the Sabbath? I said, no, we call him Fray Carlos. I said, no, there is only one Sabbath. He says, no, do you know what the word Sabbath means? Rest. I says, I know what it means. And then he says, see, you can rest any day. It says, that's why the Bible, your Bible, my Bible, no matter what Bible you get, it says the seventh day. It doesn't say the first, the second, or anyone that you choose. Because, see, the Muslims, they chose Friday. And the Romans, they chose Sunday. As long as you don't pick the one that God wants you to do, you'll be fine. That's the sense of rebellion. We must be holy. Tell the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God, you must be holy because I'm holy. Brothers and sisters, I hope in your Bible, if you do have your Bible with you now, get a pen. Mark this as your goal in your life because this is the goal that God has for you as his child. I tell you, my child, I am your Lord, your God. You must be like me. I am holy and I want you to be holy as well because only holiness will keep you alive forever. Leviticus 19 verse 2, New Century Version. Mark your Bibles. Test all things, brothers and sisters. Test them. Remember the Bible says you must discern between test them. Check things out. Don't just swallow things like we are in a culture that we bite everything that somebody put in before us. On television, on computer, we keep biting things without checking. Is this going to kill me? Is this really good for me? We are consuming things that we should not. Hold fast to what is good. And only God is good, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We must be holy. Therefore, you shall be perfect. The word perfect there in original is the same as holy. You must be holy. Matthew 5:48. It says, perfect is equal to holy, pure, complete. If you consume junk, don't be surprised that you become a pile of junk. Because whatever you put in, that's what you become. And I'm talking about in every sense, physical, mental. If you listen to junk, you become a junk. Yes, yeah, I can hear that. I know you, young, you know what I'm talking about. Be careful with those little computers because they are a pile of junk. Sometimes you can consume a lot of junk. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect, that is the goal, to be like my Father. Holiness. This is a quote that was said by somebody who dedicated his life to bring freedom to the black slaves in America. Even before the Civil War, he was a veteran, and this is what he says, very beautiful words that he says. It consists in thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills. That's his definition of holiness, John Brown. I don't know if you have heard his name before, but Google it, you'll find out more about his fascinating story. Here's another champion of God's word. Have you ever heard about Evangelist Moody? I don't know if I'm pronounced correct anyway. I know the Moody can be, Okay. A holy life will make the deepest impression. A holy life will make the biggest impression, deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns. They just shine. Isn't that beautiful? Very well said. I will say in today's language, I will say to you, when you are in a situation, when you're driving your car, it's better for you to step on the brake, who can quietly avoid a disaster, than to use your horn that makes a lot of noise and does not stop the danger. Think about it. Many people decide to make noise instead of taking action. Instead of stopping the problem, they create another problem with their horns. Have you drive this? Sometimes the people look like their hand is got stuck on the horn because they keep touching there. It's very important. Not every time what makes noise is the solution. Come out from among them and be holy. The word separating means be sanctified. Come out of this paganism and remember who you are. You are a child of God. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Implies that if you consume what is unclean, God cannot be with you because God cannot be comfortable in a pile of junk. God is holy and expects you to be holy as well. I will be a father to you, your Abba, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, but only if you decide to be clean. I got this from the internet. This is the idea of some people of Christmas. You see very wonderful things there. You see Noel. Can you see Noel? Right there in the middle. You see joy? Don't look at just joy. Have some. There's joy. There's over there says hope, warm wishes. Right in above joy. And it says joy. It says there, make it merry. Let it snow. Laughing all the way. Ho, 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 ho. Hope, winter. But you see the word celebrate there. You see the word reindeer. Jolly. But I notice right there, a few times, I noticed the word believe. Be careful what you choose to believe. It is good for us to celebrate, brother, sister. Don't take it wrong. There's nothing wrong about celebrating. Yes, we need to have a Merry Christmas. It's nice for us to enjoy. It's nice for us to have a Christmas meetings. But there is Santa right there. He is the only one there, but he got there too. The sanctuary has a tree. And we have a tree. Some people don't feel comfortable sometimes because they have been misinformed. There is something wrong about having a Christmas tree. Nothing wrong. If you want, just ask me. I'll give you the text in the Bible. Quite a few texts in the Bible. How the Bible tells us that Solomon's temple was packed with evergreen trees. Carved on the walls, everywhere. There's nothing wrong with the tree. Is how we use it. There's nothing wrong with Christmas per se. It's how we use Christmas. Are we using Christmas to glorify selfishness? Are we using Christmas as an instrument to walk away from God or to God? Thus, Christmas brings you close to God or away from God. How are you using Christmas? Let the several churches present to God Christmas trees in every church. And then let them hang, therefore, the fruits of beneficence and gratitude. This is the device that a lady that some of you are familiar with, heard her name before. There's her picture there, Ellen G. White. I don't use Ellen G. White because I have been struck this way as an instrument to prove doctrine. She herself said that that's not the intent of her writings. The Bible in the Bible alone is our standard for this church, for the church that I'm part of it. That's why I am part of this church. That's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, because the Bible is the basis of our faith. But here is somebody who had a view about this, and I did want to share with you. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil. But what about what is good? What should we do about what is good? But what is good, then we can imitate. We can grab what is good. We should leave alone what is bad, what is fake, what is lie. So my brothers and sisters, I wish you a very, very, very blessed holy day. Holy day. Holy day. The only day that is holy. I wish you a very wonderful Christmas as well. But not a Christmas without Christ. Because it won't be wonderful. The only way this Christmas can be wonderful. If you take the time. And by the way. Remember to discern between what is holy and what is common. Christmas is a common day. Not unholy. But a day to celebrate. But don't replace the Sabbath with what is common. Don't replace what is holy with what is common. Okay? You can have a party, Christmas party, after the sunset. But respect what God made holy and keep it holy. Because the purpose of Christmas, it was to give you a chance to remain holy. Don't make the Sabbath unholy because of anything. That was not the intent. That's why we do not know when Jesus was born, what month, what day. God intended that way because God did not want to establish a new holy day. We have 52 in a year. Make sure that you take good care of them and get close to God. Let's stand and sing together. Away in a manger. 124. Is going to be a cappella also, sister? Good. Much. It is, take us to heaven to be where you are. I hope that as you sing a song like this, you have the sense of God inviting you to use this Christmas as a time to get closer to Him. But now, be made free from sin because of the grace of Christ, and having become servants of God who will make you holy, you have your fruit of sanctification. There is the word holiness there. And the result will be eternal life. Don't we all are searching for that gift, the gift of eternal life? Isn't that the reason of what all the things that we do in life is eternal life, isn't it? May the Lord grant you that. Let's pray. Now may the Lord bless you because you chose to accept His invitation to be part of His people. May the Lord sanctify you so that He can reside in your life and make you holy. May the Lord bless you with the understanding and the ability to discern between what is holy and what is common, what is clean, what is unclean, and give you the power and the wisdom to make right choices in your life. May the Lord allow you to be a light that will shine through this season and throughout the days left in this year and the year that is coming. May the Lord grant you this because Jesus Christ made it possible with His life and His death on Calvary. Give us, Lord, today and always the spirit of a true Christmas. In the name of Christ we ask. Amen.
May each moment of each